Ruth Graham said, "The tragedy of our day is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer."
The truth sometimes hurts, and that can be a good thing, because pain is often the only thing that will motivate us to change. Hi, I'm Dave Dino. Today on The Tide, Pastor Dwayne Pottinger explains the sad consequences of our failure to pray. But there's some good news here. It is never too late to reverse our course. We'll get started in just a few moments, but first let's join Dwayne for a couple of questions. Dwayne, in your opinion, what is the single greatest reason why people either fail to pray as often as they can or else just don't pray as effectively as they can?
Greatest reason? Dave, that's a hard question. Perhaps the lack of understanding, lack of faith to believe it will make a difference if they do pray. I think we often use excuses of being too busy, that we don't have enough time, and not knowing how to pray or what to pray when we do pray. Maybe it's simply lack of need to pray. We don't realize in our affluent society that there's anything to pray about until all of a sudden there is a crisis, and then suddenly people begin to pray.
Well, what about people out there who have a deep need? I mean, they've prayed about it for months, maybe even years, and yet God has not answered them. What would you say to them?
First, I would say, don't stop praying. Just because you don't see the answer you've wanted doesn't mean that God hasn't heard you. Sometimes when you pray, God says yes. Sometimes he says no. But many times he says wait. And it's that waiting process that God uses to cause us to grow spiritually through our own prayer lives. God wants to accomplish and do something in us before he answers our prayer. When you ask this question, I would want to ask some questions in return. How earnest have you been in prayer? Is there known or unknown sin in your life? You know, Scripture says, using the King James, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So sometimes we have to consider the possibility of sin that I haven't dealt with that's become a hindrance to God hearing my prayer. And of course, then in Peter, he tells us that if I'm not caring for my wife appropriately, God won't hear my prayer either. So there could be issues that are standing in the way, acting as roadblocks to my own personal prayer life.
The Bible teaches us to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking, no matter how bleak our situation or how long we have endured it. To hear Dwayne's thoughts on the subject, let's join him now for his message, The Fundamentals of Prayer.
Ruth Graham said, "The tragedy of our day is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer." That's the tragedy. We're simply not praying. Oh God, help us pray. Oh God, stir up a passion in my heart that I confess I don't naturally have in myself. I admit, Lord, I'm not drawn, I'm not driven to the place of prayer because of my comfort level, because I don't see my need yet. You see, in countries where the persecution is high, in country where there is not adequate food or adequate water, when there is not adequate shelter, you know, that's where they pray. God allows hardships and crises to break our dependence, to recognize that we are desperate for God. We so often sing that song, "I'm desperate for you." How could we sing that? How can we be so hypocritical in a song? It sounds good, it feels nice. But if we were genuinely desperate, we'd be on our faces. We'd be crying. We'd be asking for help. The tragedy of our day is not unanswered prayer. It's unoffered prayer. Do you know something, friends? Prayer is not so much knowing the right words to say or how to say them. I considered situations that perhaps you've heard them on news, whether it's been on television or on the radio. You've heard
when a frantic person has dialed 911. Have you heard it? Often, the operator on the other end can't even quite understand what's being said. And they are trying to discern what's being said. But it was the simple act of dialing 911 that connected them to the source of help. And they said, if you'll just stay on the line, we'll find where you are. If you'll just stay right there, just keep talking to me. Tell me what's going on. Are you okay? Is there fire? Is there an accident? Are you bleeding? What's going on? Are they still talking? Are they breathing? It wasn't the words. It wasn't the description of the scenario. It was the connection to the one who could help. Friend, I want you to understand, it is not in the prettiness of your words. It's not in how the ability is of you to pray or to get it out. It's just connecting to Him and say, God, I need You. I need Your help. I can't even say it right. Oh, thank God that He told us in His Word that the Spirit of God prays for us. When we can't get it right and we don't know how to pray, He utters and groans in the Spirit for us. Thank God that He told us in the book of 1 John, I think it's chapter 2, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Who intercedes for us before the Father. All we have to do is cry out to Him. John Calvin said, words fail to explain how necessary prayer is. In prayer, we invoke the presence both of His providence and of His power. A little girl was attending a formal wedding with her grandmother. The little girl had attended Sunday school in the past, but she had never attended a formal church service. During the wedding, the minister said, "Let us pray." You know, it sounds so official. Each person bowed their head in prayer, and the little girl looked around and saw all the bowed heads and the eyes turned down to the floor, and she said, "Grandma, what are they all looking for?" Do you ever wonder that? When we go to prayer, what are we looking for? What are we doing? Are we just waiting for that part of the service to be done? Check it off, sit down, hear a song, hear a message, go home. Or are we reaching up to connect with the power supply? Every opportunity we come into a sanctuary or go into a service, we have an opportunity to connect. Connect my heart through worship. Connect my heart through giving of an offering. Connect my heart through the prayer. Don't let it just be the pastor praying words up here. You've got to reach up and connect your car or your trolley or your bus and get moving again. Otherwise, you'll leave the same way you came in. Powerless. Going nowhere. But God has available for us the power supply. Now, J.C. Vaughan said this, and it is so true. He said, if you wish to humble anyone, ask him about his prayer life. Ouch! I didn't even know I wanted to put that in the sermon today. I was afraid somebody might ask me. I'm still trying. I haven't got there yet. How about you? I came away from this conference these last couple days, and you know, I said, Lord, I want to increase my prayer life. I want to work on my disciplines because, you know, after a period of time, it starts to, you get through the motions again. Lord, I want to do better at this. Am I the only one? Look what happens when we fail to pray. By failing to pray, number one, we forfeit personal blessings. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. Wow. Lord, I'm missing your blessings and your presence and your spirit and your peace in my life because I'm not asking you for it, Lord. I'm hurrying and getting around in the morning and rushing out to the place of employment, to my work. I don't have what I need to face the day, the pressure internal to face the pressure external. And Lord, I'm being crushed like a can that's been dropped into the depths of the ocean. I forfeit my personal blessings for a lack of prayer. Secondly, by failing to pray, we hinder the work of God's kingdom. Matthew 6:10 and 9:38, Matthew 6 says, that Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come." I believe that is just a category of prayer. And when we don't pray and enter into engaging in praying, "Your kingdom come," we are hindering the work of the kingdom of God. Matthew 9:38 says that he tells us that we are to pray, ask him that he would send forth laborers or workers into the harvest. So when we don't pray, guess what? We hinder the kingdom of God. Because his power and his angelic powers, his force, are not released except by our prayers. A third way we hinder by failing to pray. Number three, we sin by our disobedience. Remember what 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23 said? Samuel says this, "Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord," notice what he says, "by failing to pray." Whew! Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray. That's what he said. Paul said, and he didn't say it as an option, he said it as a command. He said, "Pray continuously," in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And then in 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, Paul said, "I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer." Now, I've been sort of giving you a visual of that power pole connecting with the line above it. There's something about when we lift our hands in prayer. There's something about vulnerability. It's sort of that idea that I surrender, Lord, I can't do this. You know, the idea when a police officer has a gun in his hands and he says, "Put him up." If you don't, he's going to get kind of rough with you. Because the hands remaining down is a symbol that you have not surrendered. So Paul's saying, I wish or would that men everywhere would lift up holy hands, symbolizing surrender, humility, in prayer before God. By failing to pray, number four, we miss God's blessings and joy. Philippians 1, 3 through 5, Paul said, "I thank God, I pray with joy over what God has done." There's something about it, friends. When you stay in the place of prayer until you break through, it's like drilling a well and all of a sudden you tap it and you get oil or you get water and it starts to flow. Anybody been there, done that? It's what the saints years ago used to call praying through. They would stay in the place of prayer long enough until they hit it, until they got it. And there was connection power. The unfortunate thing is, many of us, although we're praying, yes, we're praying, we're not staying in praying until we get the power. The disciples could have stayed in the upper room for 3 days or 4 days. That wasn't what Jesus said. And I'm not saying to you how many days or how long you need to stay. I'm saying maybe you need to stay until you strike oil, until you connect, until the water flows. And I know we can't do that every day, but every once in a while we need to slip off away somewhere and we need to drill a well, get a fresh drink. Number five, Philippians 1, by failing to pray, we do not grow spiritually. Paul prayed specifically for their growth. It wouldn't have happened automatically. How many of you know that we will not grow spiritually automatically? It will not happen. And so when we fail to pray, we fail to grow. Six, by failing to pray, we are vulnerable to the enemy. Ephesians 6 tells us we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. 2 Corinthians 13, it says, we need God's power and strength to overcome so we don't do wrong. 2 Thessalonians 3:2, Paul tells us, pray that we may be delivered. And so what would happen if we don't pray? We may not be delivered. We may not overcome because we fail in our weakness. So when we don't pray, we are vulnerable to our enemy. 7 days without prayer makes one weak. W-E-A-K. we need to pray. If we don't pray, 7, we miss opportunities to minister. Ephesians 6:19, Paul asks for prayer. Now notice what he's asking for. He knows that his ministry opportunities are dependent on prayer. He says, pray that I might have words to preach and boldness and courage to preach it. I feel that way sometimes. I feel a stirring in my heart to preach, but sometimes I sit up here with my nerves. I mean, my knees knocking. I just wonder, can I get up and say this? Can I preach it? And I wonder, is anybody praying that I would have the courage and the boldness to say what God's saying to me? That's what he asked us to do. Colossians 4:3, Paul asked for prayer that the door of ministry might be opened. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, Paul asked for prayer for his ministry to spread rapidly. So, if we fail to pray, we miss opportunities to minister. One more. If we fail to pray, we will have less eternal reward. Hebrews 11:6. He, God, rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Wow! If you mean it can be a motivation for me, I can have some inspiration to pray, that if I seek God, my rewards will increase in heaven. I will start to want His desires and His passions. I will want to see His kingdom advanced. Yes! Jesus was more willing to go to the cross than we are to go to our closet sometimes. Can God help us somehow to be willing to go to our prayer closets, even though sometimes it's painful and it takes time? Will He help us to go to that place of prayer? Psalms 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ear is attentive to their cry." Jeremiah 33:3, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." Dennis the Menace knelt beside his bed, hands folded, his eyes looking upward to heaven, and Dennis said, "I'm here to turn myself in, Lord." That's a great posture. I'm not just talking about physically, I'm talking about the attitude of the heart. I'm here to turn myself in, Lord. I haven't been doing very good in my prayer life, but I'm turning myself in. I want to increase my life of prayer. Prayer is the means by which God changes us. Then He uses us to change the world. You know what? To get our nation back on its feet, we've got to get down on our knees. And it starts with me. It starts with me.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but let's all take a lesson from Dennis the Menace today. Fold our hands, bend our knees, and ask for God's forgiveness. The sooner we turn ourselves in, the sooner God can turn our lives around. Now, for some final thoughts, let's join Dwayne and our director, Don Schenk, in the studio.
Dwayne, perhaps some of our listeners today have been convicted that they really need to improve their prayer lives. How would you suggest that they go about that?
We have to begin by simply setting some time aside to go and talk to the Lord. And that often begins with a time of confession and repentance, because we recognize our failure, our sin, and it's really an issue of humbling of ourselves before God. It's often not something that we want to do, but that's how we start. That's where we begin our prayer. Perhaps along with this, we could invite somebody to become an accountability partner in our prayer lives. Give them the permission to periodically check with us and say, "Hey, how you doing in your prayer time?" And that's going to make us a little more accountable to actually do it. Somebody's going to put their finger in our face or put their thumb in our back and say, "How's your prayer life?"
Now, Dwayne, I was interested, you mentioned there about an accountability partner. It kind of brings to mind this whole idea of when I'm trying to improve my prayer life, is this something, setting aside the idea of an accountability partner, Is it something that I need to work at alone, or does it work better in a group?
Don, I believe there is great value and power in corporate prayer, but no one can do it for you. They might be able to bring a spark. They might be able to help you break down a barrier. But you cannot live on or depend on someone else's prayer life. You have to develop your own prayer life. When we stand before God someday, it will be your personal relationship that counts. Our friends will not be able to stand with us. We'll stand before God alone. And that's going to depend on our personal prayer life.
So it's not good enough for me to go to church on Sunday and to listen to the pastor's wonderful prayer.
First of all, I wonder sometimes how wonderful my prayers are when I pray. But no, I agree. Yeah, we can learn from hearing other people pray. We can be touched, even led to tears when we hear other people pray. But if we're not engaging in our own personal prayer life, we don't have a relationship with God.
And that's really one of the key issues. You mentioned that earlier in an earlier broadcast about how prayer is really very much about our relationship with God.
Don, one of our key purposes is actually to bring people into that kind of a relationship. Not only that they would hear the gospel by radio, but they would learn the scriptures and they would develop a relationship with Christ through prayer.
And Dwayne, one of the ways, areas where we're doing that we're focusing on specifically this month is in the country of Zimbabwe. And we're especially focusing on our Ndebele language outreach in Zimbabwe this month. Of course, we've made it known that the TIDE, the English program, goes out, and many people throughout Zimbabwe do understand that. It's a former colonial country, so English is widely understood. But people appreciate much more when they can hear the gospel in their own language. And that's why we have in Zimbabwe a studio where we produce an Ndebele language program. We have speakers who come in, people who are fluent. This is their mother tongue. They are ministers in Zimbabwe. They speak the language. They know how to relate to their own people. They provide the messages for these programs that go out. Now, one of the reasons why we're really focusing on this so much this month is we have a need there in Zimbabwe to upgrade that studio. We're still operating with old equipment. It's breaking down, needs frequent repairs. We need to upgrade that, bring it up to date. And so we're asking our listeners to be a part of God's answer to our prayer there. Our prayer is that we can outfit that studio with modern equipment, so that we can be sending out the program to the broadcasters on a CD instead of a cassette tape, which is what the broadcasters want. And there might be some listening today who've joined us for this program who really would like to take part in sharing the gospel in Zimbabwe and are wondering how they can do that. Well, here's an opportunity. Help us re-outfit this studio, and you will be doing something wonderful for God's kingdom and enabling Him to reach out and touch hearts of many people in Zimbabwe.
58 years, 10 languages, one mission. To take the gospel of Jesus Christ to all corners of the globe. That's the TIDE Ministry in a nutshell. We rely on friends like you to make it possible. If you'd like to help support our radio ministry in Zimbabwe and all around the world, call us today. Our toll-free number is 1-877-859-5484. That's 1-877-859-5484. As always, a copy of today's program, this one titled The Fundamentals of Prayer, is available upon request. And to receive your copy, just call and ask for program number 0502. The toll-free number again to call is 1-877-859-5484. Or send your request to us at the TIDE at P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. For information about the TIDE or to hear an encore presentation of today's lesson, be sure to visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now coming next week, the three P's of prayer. If you want to improve your prayer life, you don't want to miss this powerful message. Until then, I'm Dave Dino, thanking you for tuning in to The Tide, a ministry that's touching hearts on shores worldwide.